Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace, one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hey everyone, I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office.
Here we are. Today we're going to talk about broken promises at work.
Oh,
it hurts so much. You know, what do you do when you're promised a raise or a promotion and it doesn't come through? It happens all the time.
Yeah.
Our first question concerns an employee who's been promised a raise and a promotion, but experiences delays in receiving both.
Ooh.
Yeah. And our second question is from a boss who wants to give his valuable employee a raise and a promotion, but he has to wait in line until other employees in the department receive theirs. Yeah,
that happens a lot.
Yeah, so these are tough and tricky questions.
Mm-hmm.
So, Logan, what's our first question?
I work for a financial institution, and I've been given a very exciting opportunity to take a financial product that exists and expand it to a much broader audience. When the offer first came, I asked for a promotion and a raise. My boss said, yes, you deserve it, but we're in a raise and promotion freeze at this time. I then got a note from my senior VP promising me that the raise and promotion were coming, but not able to say when. Meanwhile, I'm working really hard, promoting this project, having great success, but not getting any financial reward or recognition for my efforts. It's been 6 months and nothing has happened. I'm starting to feel resentful and used. How long do I wait?
It's a good question.
It sure is. 6 months is quite a bit of time, isn't it?
Especially when you're working hard
and
you're waiting for something. It feels like a year or longer.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he can ask again or she can ask again.
Mm-hmm. Go back to the boss and say what's happening with my raise and promotion.
And you can give them a deadline and see what they say. If I don't receive it in 3 months, I don't think I should continue on this.
Ah.
I mean, if you have those kinds of guts.
Well, Kathy, you normally...
I have the guts.
You have the guts.
No, I was going to say, in these kinds of situations, I think you also normally encourage people to look for other opportunities. Is this one of those situations?
It may be. I don't know yet. I mean, I think you have to exhaust all your options. And one is that I think you should go back and say, I've been waiting 6 months.
Yeah.
Give me some kind of a timeline.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if they go, oh, we don't know, you know, they can't keep hedging. You have to say, well, I'd like it. If I don't hear anything within 3 months, I don't think I'm going to stay any longer. Sometimes that, pushes people.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's called an ultimatum. It works sometimes.
It does, but you have to stick to it.
You only give it when you're ready to follow.
You don't have to stick to it, but I don't think you do. But in 3 months, if they have a really good... It depends. It depends on what they do in 3 months.
Have a good excuse?
Or something.
You know, I think I agree with you. And at the same time, I think that one of the things that you have to do is examine the corporate culture of the institution in which you find yourself, because it may be that this is a regular practice for them.
That's right.
Right?
Well, that's correct.
Yeah.
Then that's another story. I mean, if this is what they do, if this is how they use people, well, then...
Then what?
Then you're part of their statistic. You're being used. Then you don't have to do it.
You
can just go find another job. But what if this is really beefing up your resume to get an even more fabulous job?
Oh, right.
It's true.
Then you have to make a calculated decision, right?
Right.
Which is how much beefing do I need to do before I can head to greener pastures?
You probably have to do it for a good year.
Yeah.
In order to go out and sell yourself as that person.
Yeah.
Because many times, you know, you may not get the promotion and the salary, but you'll get the training ground.
Yeah.
They're willing to take a risk on you, and then you can go get the great job. So you have to figure all that out. If this is a company that strings people along, shame on them.
Yeah.
And, you know the score.
I would say, it seems to me from an internal position, the challenge is... And this is so difficult to do, but not to take the situation personally, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's either there are extenuating circumstances beyond your boss's control that are making it hard for him or her to deliver to you, or if it is the way the culture rolls, then it's a situation, but still having nothing to do with you, that ultimately you'll have to assess and decide whether you want to stay or go.
Yeah, it's very hard not to take this personally.
I know.
Really hard. But, you know, I've met a lot of very smart, successful people that have been in situations like this. And ultimately, they feel they weren't used. They felt, at the time, they thought they were being used. But they ended up using that opportunity in another way.
Don't use, use.
Don't be used, use. Well, we're all using each other on some level.
Getting philosophical.
Do freezes like you're getting philosophical, existential? Do freezes like this happen often? I mean, what is the approximate timeline for a freeze to happen?
That's a good question.
A company?
I mean, I think that they, if it's very large institutions, if it's government, you know, they've been in a crisis for what, most of my life.
Well, actually, but to that point, for example, financial institutions right now are in, you know, are in a nervous state, right? Because the stock market has been so volatile and so many things. It's the market, it's the industry itself is so competitive. So it doesn't reap the rewards or the promotions that it used to. So, I mean, some of that can be temporal, have to do with where that industry is in time, right?
Yeah, I mean, this could be very true that there is a long line. That's possible. But you have to figure that out. I mean, I would say get some emotional support through this, because I think it's very difficult not to take this personally. And nobody wants to be feel used. I mean, I have felt used many times. And it's not
by me.
No, that's why I have my own company, so I can only use myself. No, but
you can only abuse
yourself. Have you frozen yourself before?
Many times, but you know, when you I've working for somebody else, it's very difficult to not take this kind of stuff personally.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, especially because this individual is working really hard, right? So part of who this individual seems to be is someone who, when given an opportunity, really runs with it and gives it their full commitment. And so when you do something like that, you do want to see, you're saying, okay, this is, I'm good for my word. Now you should be keeping yours.
Right, but it's not a really fair or equal world sometimes. So I think this is all calculated, a calculated risk, where you have to see what is the upside for you to continue this. I mean, I think you have to push and see if you can get the raise and the promotion. But I think there's also more to the picture than that.
More to the picture.
I think that is it a calculated risk because you can then leave that place and get a better job,
right?
Or is it
so
that,
even if you never get a promotion or a raise, does this serve your career,
right? Or maybe even this is obviously a very large organization because that's all that has hiring freezes. And a little company would have been out. So it's a very large institution. So probably there's another opportunity.
Yeah.
I mean, this could give this person the visibility and the shine to move somewhere else in the organization. So you have to be calculated about it. You can't just, you know, like feel bad for yourself and say, you know, they're not being fair. I mean, use it. Use this opportunity.
Yeah, that's interesting. I would say use the not feeling, use the disappointment, though, also in as your protection. Like you can, if you do feel angry, then you could use that to propel yourself to look for more opportunities within the company. You could also do some research, like to find out if this is a cultural phenomenon, just to see if anyone else is in a similar position as you are, you know, or if someone who did finally get a promotion and a raise, what was their journey? What did it look like for them?
Yeah.
So, because I do find with, I have several clients who are in these larger companies, and in one case, he discovered that this happens all the time.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. So that's good to find that out. I would avoid talking to your friends and family about this situation because you're not going to get the best advice.
Right. What are they going to say?
They'll get angry too and tell you to quit.
Exactly.
They're using you.
Right. Mm-hmm. So avoid those conversations and either talk to a professional or other people in the organization that have been through something like this that can give you some really solid advice.
So you need to vent probably to some degree, but you're saying find good ventilation systems. So whether it's an executive coach or a counselor or someone who's wise
in the know in the company.
It's always good to get different perspectives from different people.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, and look for, you know, how you can use this in other ways than just getting the raise and the promotion. Because many people walk away from situations like this later seeing that, wow, you know, I actually did get something out of it. I didn't get what I wanted, but I got something else out of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you never know.
Okay, so what we're saying is...
manage your emotions.
Pull yourself together. No, what we're saying is this is a tough situation. You are not alone. Your job is to assess whether you will or will not ultimately, eventually get a raise. And what Kathy is saying very clearly is see what this opportunity can provide for you in terms of career development, whether you get the promotion and raise or not, because it may help you propel forward to the next place in your career.
We're also saying if this is a company that just uses people, move on.
Yeah.
Because that's not a good place to be. It does, that really doesn't feel very good.
Right. But find out how long you need to stay in this manipulated position in order to use it to your benefit.
That's right.
Before moving on.
That's right. That's usually a year.
Okay.
I think.
Hang in there for a year no matter what.
Yeah.
Six months to go.
Right, another 6 months. It'll feel like another year, but you can do it. But I would push back. We also said that I would push back and see if you can push them.
Go find out what's going on.
Right. See if you can push them. Okay, so that's it for this question, right? Are we done? You have any other points you want to make?
On whatever.
Okay, quick commercial break, and we'll be back with question number two.
Want to be a hot shot in your new job? Do you have a fancy new suit, but you're tired of wearing it to the same old office? Aren't you bored of staring out the window at Starbucks, wondering what happened to your dream career? If you answered yes to any of the above, stop what you're doing and give K-Squared a call. I mean it. K-Squared Executive Coaching will help you accomplish your career objectives and help you navigate the obstacles holding your career hostage. Simply go to our website, ksquaredenterprises.com, to learn more about our executive coaching and how we can help you. Come on. Go ahead. You can do it. And now, back to our show.
Hey, welcome back. Logan, what's our next question?
I work for a public city university in IT. I have a key employee who has taken on a very big project, converting our entire database to a new platform. When I asked this person to take on the project, it should have come with a promotion and a raise, but I was told there was a long line of people awaiting upgrades, and it might take a while. How do I keep this very valuable person here while I wait for his raise and promotion to be approved?
If ever.
Oh, this is the question with a line. I think I said a line with the other question. I confused the two. This is tough because if you know somebody deserves something and you can't give them exactly that, what can you do?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I bet you've got some creative things that this person can do.
I've seen certain things work for a short period of time.
Yes. What are they, Kathy?
Well, I think public acknowledgement, making sure that this person is given a lot of credit for the work they're doing, whether that's emails to everyone in the world or just in that department, but that people of importance are hearing what a great job. It's being highlighted. I think that's something that would work. I also think it's important to meet with this person on a regular basis with any updates. Even if you don't have an update, I think being in conversation with this person, letting them know that you are still fighting for them and that there is an upcoming meeting. And the worst thing you can do is avoid the person.
That is such great advice. Because what people do is that they read silence as no.
Right. So you can avoid, which would backfire, or you can just, you know, not ignore them, make believe it's not happening, which is really a big mistake. So constant updates, you know, make sure you say to this person, let's meet every Monday and we'll see where we are. Even if it's a 2-minute meeting and say, I wish I had more, but I ran into so-and-so in the hallway today and I reminded them, just something so that they feel there's upward
movement.
Thank you. And I also think that you just want to give this person encouragement. You just want to say, there's a lot of us here fighting for you, and you're doing a great job, and this is going to pay off. I don't have a date for you, but this is going to pay off. I think so those are the three things I think I've seen work for a period of time.
I think that's excellent. Those are all excellent. I think, actually, I want to say that I feel for this person who's managing this individual because you can feel a constant sense of pressure and frustration yourself that you have nothing to offer, right? And Kathy, what you're saying is that there, these other things, the public acknowledgement, the checking in, the keeping them informed, those are things you can offer mm-hmm. because they're, you're both part of the same system mm-hmm. and they'll understand that it's not you who's stopping this from happening, that you're advocating for the individual.
Right. Right. I mean, it's not everything, but it will go, it can go pretty far.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, ultimately you have to deliver. And I would be honest with a person if you can't, at a certain point, if you can't deliver.
Yeah. Say, I can't deliver.
Yeah. It's like,
I'm sorry, I can't deliver. It's not going to happen.
I know,
I've been all this hard work and...
I know I've been telling you for 6 months I am, but today I found out I can't. Yeah, you have to let them
happens.
Know.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be honest with them. So this is an open dialogue, a continuing open dialogue, which a lot of people don't like to do.
No.
Is that? Why don't people like to do that?
Well, there are many people who are very results-oriented anyway, so mm-hmm. their feeling is unless something is happening, I have nothing to say,
mm-hmm.
right? Updating mm-hmm. is kind of... the communicator's way of handling something. Not everyone's as good a communicator as you are.
Well,
few people are, really.
But the question is, how do I keep a really good employee when I can't give them this very important, these very important things? How do I keep them?
Yeah. Right. Well, one thing, though, also I'm thinking that you could offer is perhaps we talk about this, if there are training opportunities for them to keep honing and developing their skills or to go to a database, you know, a medical database conference where at least you're experiencing yourself as an important mm-hmm. part of this process.
Mm-hmm.
Those
mm-hmm.
could be other
right.
temporary
those are good.
Things to offer, right?
Right. Right. I would avoid giving them more work. Making them feel really used.
Yeah.
Ask them to fix your own database at home.
Right. Right. Anything you could give them of a nature of a perk.
Yeah, stress right. relief perks would be good too, right.
right? Right. Maybe go to a conference they wouldn't ordinarily get to go to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's in the south of France or something very nice. Just something nice, you know, if you do stuff like that for them.
Yeah.
I think it's really important. Yeah, and I have seen it work, again, for a period of time. So,
yeah. You know, it's funny because, and this maybe you don't do this, but I think the other part is to acknowledge their feelings. That's mm-hmm. what I have to say as a psychologically oriented person.
What do you mean?
How do you feel about that?
What are you going to say to them? You're not
a
therapist.
Well, no, you could just say, I know this is extremely frustrating, or I know you must be wondering what is happening here, mm-hmm. or I know there must be some days where you wonder if it's worth it. You know, just the reality of it.
Okay. Right.
That's right. What I mean. You don't have to have them lay on a couch and cry.
All right, good.
Look at this splotch and tell me how you feel.
Yeah, I was getting worried there.
Tell me more about your parents and your upbringing. No, you don't have to do any of that.
I mean, you don't want this to be also a whining session or, you know, where they get to be really emotional with you. I mean,
yeah.
I think you want to avoid that because then you get caught in the trap of having to take care of their emotional needs when actually you're trying to take care of them professionally.
Right. Well, why I'm saying acknowledge it is that people, if not acknowledged, then the likelihood is that they'll act it out anyway. So mm-hmm. it often helps to just say what is and then moveon.org. You know, you can't, but I'm a big one of acknowledging, just like you are an updating. I'm mm-hmm. an acknowledger.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So while you're updating, you say, I know this is frustrating for you.
I'm going to buy you lunch this afternoon.
And you'll feel a lot better.
Here's a massage certificate. Yes, exactly.
Yep.
And
yeah.
fix my database at home. No, don't do that.
And while you're there, could just babysit for the kids.
Yeah.
I have some dry cleaning that you could pick up. Yes, those kinds of things. We steer away.
Yeah, well, these are tough situations. They're really tough. And
they are
very difficult to know what is the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's really no right answer. It has to be looked at holistically, your whole career and mm-hmm. the organization. I mean, there's a lot of elements that go into both of these.
Right, and you have to deal with the theme of today, which is broken promises, that people, even if the intention was not to fail to deliver on a promise, there's an emotional reaction individuals have, which is that they feel betrayed, mm-hmm. they feel misled, mm-hmm. they feel manipulated, And to your point, Kathy, the more you can either go and address that if you're on the receiving end and say what's going on with what you promised, or buffer it from a management perspective, the better for everyone concerned.
Yeah, we don't like disappointment like that. We don't like broken promises, especially with our livelihood. That's not it. Yeah.
And especially if you're someone who keeps your word, you know, then it's all the more really maddening. So,
yeah,
we feel your pain and we believe you should find out what the advantage is of the situation anyway.
Yeah.
Right.
That's it for the show.
Mm-hmm. Tweet us your stories about how you've dealt with unfulfilled promises at work and join us next time for another My Crazy Office podcast. Please review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. And don't forget to send your questions to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.